What are you making now on average? Like, what did you make last month?
So last month I made just under 10K in profit across both of the businesses.
Wow.
Which was really decent. Good. Truth is, it actually took me about 8 months to get my first deal.
And was that because you weren't trying, or were you trying by banging your head a bit more?
I was working hard, you know, late nights, early mornings, that kind of thing. I think it was kind of focusing too much on one thing.
So the first property then, where did you find this landlord?
The previous tenant was using the property as a cannabis farm.
Wow.
You are going to like this one. And this is something that people all over the country ask me for. I've got a ticket guy. So it'll get me tickets to events, you know, particularly around like football, for example. I've taken that and tried to offer it to landlords as well.
Oh, wow. Well, so what do you say then to the landlord? There's so many people that watch my videos from behind a screen are watching all these videos around property and wealth creation and business and money, but actually they're doing nothing. I was speaking to a guy recently called Jamie. Jamie was in a depression. He'd moved out of home. He was living with his grandma. He was in a job that he didn't particularly love doing, and he was depressed. He came, he met me in person. He came to a crash course, and now he's making £6,000 to £10,000 per month in profit from his property business. And it's completely revolutionized his confidence, his social groups, his circumstances. And in this sit down with Jamie, he's gonna be talking about what transitioned and what changed in his brain and how he went from sitting behind a screen to actually being a participator and having his own successful property business. Study this interview and get the other side of the screen and start taking action and kicking ass in business and life, just like Jamie did. But before the video starts, please be sure to subscribe. What are you making now on average? Like, what did you make last month?
So last month I made just under 10K in profit across both of the businesses.
Wow.
Which was really
decent.
Good.
Where's that money coming from exactly then? What are you doing?
So I've got two businesses. So my first business, which is what I initially started with, my rent to rent. So I will rent property from a landlord and then re-rent that back out to companies, put it on Airbnb, online travel agents, etc. Mm-hmm. And I will pay the landlord their money and make the difference.
And are the landlords happy with you doing that?
Landlords are more than happy for me to do that. Obviously, I'll go through and explain to them what it is that I'm actually doing, so it's fully transparent. But yeah, they're more than happy.
So tell me, what were you doing before you got into property?
So I am actually an antisocial behaviour officer for a housing association. So for anyone that doesn't know, it's basically investigate international organised crime gangs, domestic abuse.
Sounds rough, bro.
Yeah, threats of violence. It is, yeah. It's
was your life in danger?
It can be, yeah, because you don't know. Compared to like, you know, prisons and places like that, they know what type of person you're kind of walking into.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with my particular role, you don't know what's going to happen.
How many hours were you working?
36 hours.
So you must have been paid pretty well because it's...
Yeah, you know, paid reasonably.
What was your salary?
36K.
Okay, so kind of decent, yeah. Decent salary. How long have you been in the property business now?
So I've actually been on the academy as such. I've been in the industry. Started training in 2023, halfway through 2023.
So then, just over a year ago.
Yeah. But, you know, I'd love to come in here and say I was financially free, you know, after a few weeks. But the truth is, it actually took me about 8 months to get my first deal.
Mm.
So.
And was that because you weren't trying, or were you trying by banging your head a bit more?
To be honest, you know, I was always working hard, you know, late nights, early mornings, that kind of thing. But I think it was kind of focusing too much on one thing and then like kind of tunnel vision and not like looking into other strategies. I was just like, oh, I just want to do that.
Mm.
And without, okay, well, why don't you just have a look at something else as well if that's not working out right now?
Right.
So it's kind of like opening, it's also a bit like of a victim kind of mentality, like, oh no, I've put some money into training, like I should have immediate success, and maybe looking over other people's successes and like, oh, I'm not going to get 10 grand and putting myself down a little bit. So I think it was like a combination of a few different things, to be honest with you.
So if I was a landlord, and I've got a property. Where's your patch?
Manchester.
Manchester. Let's say I've got a... Are you going for houses or apartments?
Houses.
Right. 2-3 bed? What?
3 bed and above.
Okay, cool. So let's say I've got a 3-bed house in Manchester. Whereabouts in Manchester?
Salford.
Great. 3-bed house in Salford. Typical rent. What are you talking about? What? 1,200 quid?
It's a lot more now, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
What are you talking
about? The reason Salford has got... And I don't know why, because that's exactly where I'm from, Salford.
Right.
And for some reason, it's got the highest increase in rent compared to like any other area
outside. So it's really booming. London. Okay, yeah, so we're talking for a 3-bed house in Salford.
You're talking about 1,400, 1,500.
Okay, so I've got a house in Salford. I've bought it or I've inherited it. It's my property, mm-hmm. and I just want to get an income from it. And I'm renting out for £1,500 a month. Mm-hmm. Super happy. Tenant moves out. Put it back on the market, and I'm looking for another tenant. Mm-hmm. And then I get a call from you.
Yeah.
What are you saying? What's your proposition?
So when I go to meet landlords, I get them on the phone, get a viewing arranged. So when I get to the property, I'm looking around and I take control of that viewing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't give them the opportunity to start hammering loads of questions at me. I'll go there and I'll say, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk around the property and then I'm going to take a video and then we're going to have a conversation about it. So I'm kind of being the leader in this kind of scenario.
Sure.
So then because I'm taking control, it makes it a lot easier for me and my confidence as well to be like, look, this is the business model. This is what we do. This is how it works. And kind of explain it to them whilst walking around the property as well.
Yeah.
Which is really good. And then it gives them opportunities just to ask little questions, but I'll try and answer all of their objections before they've got a chance to ask. You know what I mean? So I'll say, this is usually how long we rent them for. This is the market that we have. This is what, you know, the
so
online
everything
travel agent.
That they're thinking, you're just telling them up front.
It's just ticking boxes and just going through it with them and just be like, you know, just it just stops them from, you know, putting the smoke screen up, as we say. Do you know what I mean? So just to hide behind it. So they've got all the full information.
Is it really difficult though at first? Because now you've got a handful of properties. How many properties do you have now on rent?
So I've got 3 SAs and then I've got a HMO at the moment that's kind of just going through. It's not quite there at the minute, but
It's not live yet.
No, it's not live.
All right, so you've got 3 properties up and running in and around the Manchester area, right? Are they all in Salford?
They are, yeah.
So you've got 3 properties in Salford. Now, presumably, I can see that it's not difficult getting properties because you're speaking to landlords, you can get control, and if they're asking questions, you can show them, well, I've actually got 3.
Yeah.
This is how it works. But when you're starting out from scratch and you're in a totally different space and you're in a full-time job, were you a homeowner previously?
No.
So you're not a homeowner, you're a tenant. What kind of property were you living in? Like when you, I'm just trying to picture myself, you as a young guy.
So it's a bit of a strange one, to be honest. So like I moved out when I was 17. So I'd always been independent. Like, you know, I'd always had my own property, always, you know, found my way in life quite easily. But it was at this stage, it was a bit difficult because I was, you know, struggling before I had any properties, before I'd actually done the business. I was quite in a bit of a depressed state. So, you know, I was living for the weekend, was seeing the same people, same pubs, etc. And it was just like, I just weren't feeling good about myself. Do you know what I mean? I knew I needed to be doing something better. So I actually gave up my house. I moved out of the area, reset, refocused, moved in with my grandparents, and then decided to kind of attack the property business as such.
So you're a depressed guy living with your grandma. With no properties, not a homeowner.
This is at like 26 as well, man. Do you know what I mean? So I'd gone from, you know, being a high performer in previous jobs. It's, you know, been in sales jobs as well. So, you know,
I'm just trying to think from the landlord's perspective, why would they trust you with their property? Like, why would they? Yeah, man. Oh, you got, how long is your company? How long did you set up a company before you started doing the doings?
Yeah.
So you got a brand new company with nothing in it, with no history, no guts. And you're just going to landlords and saying, I want to rent your property. It's a company. Yeah. That must be quite daunting.
Yeah. So it was very difficult. And like I say, I didn't have immediate success because, there was all these, you know, barriers in place. You know,
when they were shooting you down and saying no as well, were you in your head, were you thinking like, oh, this is never going to work. I knew it. Oh, this sucks.
Oh, so many times. Like, and, you know, people always ask me, is like, did you ever quit? And I was like, do you know what? I did. But in my head, I just never said it out loud.
Yeah.
So it just kept me going. Like, I knew I was in this now. I thought, this is what I'm in it for. I know it's not going to be immediate overnight. I'm going to be in this for the long run. You know what I mean? So I was prepared to be locked in. But yeah, when, you know, when first started chatting with the landlords and they was, you know, going back to what you was kind of asking, really, why would they rent it out to me? It's because of the stuff that I'd learned as well. Do you know what I mean? So, all right. Yeah. I'm probably not in a position right now to, you know, be desirable to a landlord, my brand new company, you know what I mean? They're probably not going to want to do that. But there's things like called borrowed credibility as well. You know,
Talk to me about that.
So borrowed credibility is working with people that are in a lot better position than you are. So working with people that have got 5 properties, 10 properties, or even less, probably where I'm at now. Do you know what I mean? If people are out there, have got no properties, but they can lean on me and my company because I've got 3, and doing various other business transactions as well, but around property. You know, I've got my company website that's been established now for a couple of years. It's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I've got references, you know, landlords. I've got client testimonials.
Now you have.
Do you know what I mean? Now I now have. Do you know what I mean? Like that. And that I can use that. Or, you know, me at the time was using that from other people's and be like, okay, well, this is the companies we're working with at the moment.
And how? In what capacity are you working with them? Like if you just say, oh, there's a guy called John who's doing it well, like what link so is
the,
that to you?
The way I was kind of working it was I was going around helping sell properties. You know, if it was SAs, I was going building beds. I was going painting walls. You know, I wasn't, you know, I give up my time. You know what I mean? I was working late. You know what I mean? So I was smart. Very much involved. Yeah.
Were you getting paid to do that?
No.
So you were like volunteering?
Yeah.
To go and help other people that were succeeding.
Yeah.
And then when you speak to the landlord, you say, actually, I've been working with John on this project. Okay, so you're kind of, and then that way he can see John's property.
Yeah.
But your involvement was volunteering.
Yeah, I was literally taking pictures at this property and just flicking through and just like, look, I've just been working on this week.
Right.
You know, 25 units have been popped up around you know, various different sites. This is what I've been working on.
Right. So then when the landlord says, oh, your company's brand new, it's like, it is, but I've got experience. Yeah. You know, I've been training, I've been working with this person on these properties. So it just gives the landlord a bit of confidence, gives you something to be able to talk about and show them.
Yeah, very much so. And alongside my job as well, because my job is quite a, you know, it's a specialist role. And I tell him, all right, yeah, I've got might not have the years in the company as such, but I've got years in housing. You know, right. I've got years managing tenants. I've got years, you know, dealing with high complex people that suffer with drug and alcohol abuse. Mm. So do you know what I mean? So I can use my background as well as a combination of these things.
But you know what's clever about that though, Jamie, is that you're almost like taking the hand. People often say, oh, it's easy for that person. What you've got to do is you've got to take the cards that you've been dealt and think, how can I use my story? How can I use my experience? Even if I'm a nurse, if I'm this or that, how can I tell my story in such a way to a landlord whereby it's personable, it's compelling, and that it's going to show credibility and trust?
Absolutely. And, you know, that kind of just brings me on to a point as well. So, like, I do a lot of help and support around, you know, academy members, people that are just getting into property. You know, I'll stay on after the masterminds, for example, and help people try and drive up some long-term bookings, or I'll do some sales talks with them, motivational talks. But the key thing as well is being on the viewings. So what I found was, because I'd been in sales before, you know, I was always like in shirt and ties and whatnot, driving, you know, nice cars. When I was turning up to viewings like that and then saying, oh, but, you know, the market is we're going to be targeting contractors and whatnot, they were just looking at me, you know, in a suit and thinking, yeah, but like, are you though? Do you know what I mean? You just look like a, you know, a estate agent or a sales rep or whatever. It's quite repellent. So what I started to do was like try and research a lot into it and kind of go into like the psychology. So I actually switched it, my mentality and my dress, what I was dressing up as well. So I'd turn up in, you know, kind of like workman clothes as such, crew neck jumper, tape measure, clipboard. And kind of, it kind of like drops the guard down instead of me turning up in a suit. Do you know what I mean? So you have the psychology. So the guard's dropped. All right, he's turned up with a clipboard and a tape measure. He's not going to try and sell me something when realistically, this is just to kind of ease them up. Do you know what I mean?
That's really smart. Because I think sometimes people try and be super professional.
Yeah.
Or they'll ring up, hello, it's Samuel speaking from or professional, or wear a suit. And actually, it makes you look like a young salesman.
But that was me. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm thinking, I was getting to, you know, 6-7 months in thinking, I look the part. I'm saying the right things, but I'm not getting it over the line. And I thought, something's got to change here. So, like, you know, you researching it, I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this because it comes from a, you know, like I say, it drops the guard down. They're more likely to do business with me. I've got a clipboard in my hand. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just dying. Walking around thinking, doing my shopping list as I'm doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's your brand, isn't it?
But that's it, mate, yeah.
So the first property then, where did you find this landlord?
The first property was, you know, I'd love this one. It is insane. So to be honest, the landlord isn't from the area. She wasn't from the area, but she was having issues. So the previous tenant was using the property as a cannabis farm.
Wow.
So
there's a motivated landlord right there to sort something out.
There you go. So she had a load of issues, as you can imagine. The property was in a bit of a wreck, but fixable issues. And was kind of walking around looking for problems as well that I could highlight and go, yeah, well, you got that there as well, haven't you? Do you know, I'm putting the reminder of this pain that she's just gone through. And I'll give you an example of some of the issues. So she had a load of waste in the garden from obviously clearing the house out and whatnot. And it was an eyesore, do you know what I mean? It was a lot of rubbish there. And she'd been quoted something like £400-£500 to get it done. So she agreed to it, but they'd still not done it. She'd been waiting for ages. So I just said, look, I'll tell you what, I'll get it done for a quarter of the price for you, okay? And I'll have it done tomorrow. We'll get the stuff sorted in the property. I'll do the repairs and whatnot. And then we'll run with exactly what we've said in terms of we'll rent the property out and then, you know, we'll re-rent it on online travel agents, etc. She's like, right, okay, I got the keys the next day. It's because of my connections to the area as well. So that's what I was, you know, kind of helps being from the area because I grew up in Salford and that's where it was. So, you know, it was tapping into what I could get sorted quickly.
Yeah.
Because I've got people that can go in and remove that, so you know, remove that waste. I've got people that go in and paint the property. I've got people that fit the carpets.
Right.
And it kind of brings me on to my point of being well connected as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've got a TV guy, I've got a broadband guy, I've got, you know, waste removals. But I've also got a USP, Samuel, and you are going to like this one. So this is something that people all over the country ask me for. And I've got a ticket guy. So he'll get me tickets to events, you know, particularly around like football, for example. So Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Aston Villa. For the guests, really. But what I've done is I've taken that and tried to offer it to landlords as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's worked really well.
So what do you say then to the landlord?
So what the way that it's kind of worked is, so I'll give you an example. So we went to a property, went to do a viewing. Property was unreal. I was there for about an hour and 20 minutes, let's say. 20 minutes talking about the business and property and what we're doing. We didn't want to take up too much time about that because he was bought, he was sold. Do you know what I mean? He was interested.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, let's move on from that quite quickly. Let me find out who you are first. Let me find out who, you know, you are as the individual, not necessarily around this property business. And we got chatting. He was a lovely guy. He was there for about an hour talking about his family. Inevitably, we got chatting about football. He's from Manchester himself, so he's going to be a red or a blue kind of thing. He was a red, I'm a blue, so he was a bit tongue-in-cheek. And we got talking, he's like, I've always wanted to take my grandson to a United match. He's never been before. And I knew I can get him tickets to that, like, no problem. And then I was like, right, okay, no worries. So I didn't say anything at the time. I left it, and then the next day, signed for the property. I sold it on to an investor with management. But then I rang the landlord up and said, I'm just sending you two tickets to United now to take your grandson.
That's beautiful.
So, you know, the cost of the ticket, all right, yeah, I've sold a deal, I've just made £3,000. But the price of the ticket is like, it's nothing for that because one, he's a repeat customer. That's not why I'm doing it. But two, like, I've just massively impacted his life and his grandson's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to be going home, they're going to be buzzing, they're going to be really happy.
And it's thoughtful.
It's very thoughtful.
Took the time out to talk with him.
Yeah. Nobody else is doing stuff like that. Yeah, granted, I've got connections, but
yeah,
you know, it's been it's
that
been...
first property then, the cannabis farm. How much did it cost you to fix that up?
So I put a little bit more than I wanted to, so about £9,000. Put
it's a lot there.
It is, yeah.
Is that including the deposit and everything?
Didn't pay a deposit.
Oh, you didn't pay a deposit because you're doing it. So it's almost instead of. Did you get any grace?
Yeah.
How much grace?
Yeah, I got 3 weeks grace period to get it sorted, but the repairs were done within 10 days.
How do you stop the landlord after the repairs all being done and you spending thousands of pounds just going, actually, I want to rent it to somebody else?
It's written in the contracts that we get it all sorted.
And you're doing long leases?
Yeah, five years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you might spend, you know, you might spend a bit of money, but now you've got a 5-year. What kind of contract are you using then? So when you're getting a landlord to agree that you can take over their property,
yeah,
and then with the permission that you can rent it out on Airbnb, short-stay guests, contractors, what kind of contracts are you using?
So there's a rent-to-rent contract that we use on the academy, which obviously we go through, and it's simplified in terms of, you know, your company details, how long it is, and you've highlighted, so you can read through it and just simply put your details in.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's important to read through the entire thing and not just to, you know, implement it, but that's the contract.
So it's not the same as a normal AST contract. It's specifically for rent-to-rent commercial leases.
Yeah,
and also it's quite it's quite in favor of the landlord, these contracts, really, aren't they?
They can be,
in terms of if you don't pay rent, they can evict you. You're generally responsible for small repairs and things like that. So it's quite attractive.
The hardest thing in the
early days is getting the landlords just to give you the time of day and to sit down with you and respect and trust what you're talking about. But actually, it's a good business model.
Oh, yeah, it's a great business model. I think it's, you know, if you're looking at other businesses as well, it can be quite difficult to immediately start making profit. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I think the rent-to-rent model, just on the back of that, then with that first property, you say that $9,000 was a lot of money. Yeah, it was, but I didn't say like 2 weeks as soon as the repairs are done. I got a 6-month booking and pretty much pulled out most of the money that I'd invested.
Really?
So, you know, bearing a couple of grand maybe, do you know what I mean? So it was like,
What does it make a month now, that property?
That property, 1.2K consistently.
That's incredible.
Just on that one property.
And that's profit after all expenses.
Yeah, it's that property is... So the thing is, it's because I target the long-term bookings as well. So the big companies, contractors. I love working with contractors, man, because they just get it. They're so easy. They just want somewhere to put their head down at night. They just relate. Like, I can relate to him for some reason. I don't know why. They just get it. They're not ringing me up and saying, you know, why is the toilet roll not cut into a triangle? Do you know what I mean? Like, they just sound.
Yeah. Well, how do you find these contractors for these long-term bookings?
So I market them, first of all. So the way that I add my properties advertised, I'll put things in there that are going to attract them as well. So like USPs, so dartboards, PlayStations, pool tables, ping pong tables.
So this is why the investment was a bit much up front, because you wanted to make it really...
It pops, you know, it stands out, you know. It's just, when I take on units now, I'm walking around there thinking, right, what a contractor's going to like this type of property. What can I put in here to make it appealing to them?
Who are, when you say contractors, who are you talking about exactly? What types of people?
People in building trades that are working in, because my properties are so close to the city centre, and Manchester, as we all know, is booming.
Yeah.
For, you know, all the skyscrapers, the building. So there's so much business in that area.
Who's in there at the moment?
What, in the property?
Yeah.
They're kind of fitting, specialist contractors for fitting stair lifts.
Right.
So yeah, it's so not
all
just
types of tradespeople, workmen.
Yeah.
How many people can you hold in the house?
Six comfortably with beds, but then if we're having the sofa bed, which is unbelievable as well, by the way, I get a specific one, because it pulls out into like a double one. And, oh man, it's so comfy. Like, I've actually slept on it myself and I was doing a profit off its class. So eight, really. Seven.
Why would the contractors or the boss who owns the stair lift company, why would they put their workers in your property as opposed to a hotel?
So if you're going to rent a room out in a hotel, it's going to cost you, what, £80?
Yeah, like that.
But then they've got, that's for, you know, maybe one, two people.
Yeah.
So then if they're going to be spending that times six, it's just going to be ridiculous on a nightly rate.
It's true.
So whereas I'm offering my property.
The whole house. Yeah.
And I'll price for profit as well. So I'll work out each month how much I realistically would like to make.
Yeah.
And then add my, you know, turnover on top of that, my bills on top of that, sorry, my expenses. So I know exactly, you know, where I'm at.
Yeah.
And then give that quote to the contractors. And I've actually done this quite recently before as well. I've given them a month quote because they told me that they'd looked in the Premier Inn, but it's just coming in a bit pricey. So I've basically given them a breakdown of the Premier Inn costs and a breakdown of my costs.
Yeah.
And seen the difference, and it was ridiculous.
So from their point of view, it's more economical.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of our contractors as well, they like being in the house because sometimes they might, you know, they want a kitchen, they want a lounge, they want to be able to get back after a long day. They might want somewhere to leave their tools. They can use the shed. It's like a home from home almost, as opposed to you're in a Premier Inn, and they'll sometimes stay for months.
But that's the best type of guest, isn't it? When they're staying there consistently. I usually allocate one person to speak to in that property as well, and he takes charge of, you know, especially if there's a group of them. Do you know what I mean? Just so I'm not getting texts off loads of different contractors.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just find them easy to get.
What happens though if you take a property on and you sign a 5-year lease and you're paying £1,500 a month for a property? You've spent thousands of pounds setting it up. Is it not a bit risky? Because what happens if there's no contractors in the area or there's no demand?
Yeah, of course it's very risky. But like I say, this all comes to doing your due diligence, and this is stuff that, you know, you pay to learn basically. the way I kind of look at my properties, and you know, I'm assuming that everybody else does this as well, I don't just look for contractors. Of course, they're my favorite. I only mention that because they're my favorite type of guest.
Mm-hmm.
But where I kind of look for my property, if I'm taking on a new deal, I'm kind of doing like a circle and then another circle and see what overlaps, you know what I mean, in the middle. So that's where I want my property to be. So if I've got a hospital down here, I've got the city center over here, you know, I might have a motorway access there. And as long as I'm hitting all these different points,
yeah,
I'm going to be marketing to different avenues. So, you know, hospital staff may want to stay because it's near a hospital.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, the motorway access, obviously, for the contractors. The city center obviously pulls in tourism. So it's hitting the different markets as well, sure, and not just relying on one particular guest.
So you've got plan A, plan B, plan C, yeah, plan D. So you know it's going to...
And you change your pictures as well. So you know contractors are going to want to see the pool table. You know they want to want to see the PlayStations, the smart TVs, you know, the coffee machines. That's what they're going to want to see. But, yeah, you know, maybe your short-term guests are going to want to see, you know, a comfy bed and, you know, local things in the area and what, you know, more about the attractions and stuff, sure, like that. Tickets, yeah, you know what I mean? So they're going to want to see that.
Oh, stay for a month and we'll get you tickets to the game.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, they're going to want to see stuff like that. Yeah. So it's just marketing it right.
So once you got your first property, was it the same landlord that gave you the other two, or did you?
No. So I've got my others through agents. So
was the first one landlord direct?
Yeah. So
is it easier to get deals if you're starting out from a landlord direct or from an agency?
In my perspective, it's easier to get them from direct from a landlord.
Why is that?
For the first one. I just think with agents, you're just adding a gatekeeper in.
Mm.
I think there's just another like stepping stone that you've got to, you know, go through with an agent.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I've got nothing against agents. I just think for your first one.
The agents are gonna want it, they're gonna vet the heck out of you.
Yeah.
And if you have not really got anything,
if you've
going
got no
for
books,
you,
if you've got, you know, you've got no experience, they're just gonna, because they've got to be sold themselves before they go and then sell it to the landlord.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you just
got two people to sell,
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly.
The landlord's got to be on board and the agent.
And especially if you come from a background where you've not got any sales experience, you're not comfortable talking with people, you're not well connected.
Mm.
You know, the last thing you want to be doing is trying to sell to two people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When you, yeah, can just maybe just speak to a landlord direct, build up some experience.
Yeah. The advantage of, yeah, having an agent on board is that they'll keep passing you deals. I bet you're getting that,
yeah,
now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting that. I have loads of agents that just ring me up now and say, Jay, I've got something here for you.
And even if you don't want it, you just sell it.
Yeah. So I had an opportunity, which is unfortunately did fall through. And he gave me an opportunity down, I think it was like Enfield area. Now, this was completely out of my patch. It was like London.
London, yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking, hey, what are you ringing me about this for? But I was thinking, I'm not going to say no first. You know, I'm going to look at it. And it would have worked really well for a social housing deal, but it did eventually fall through. But that's just one example of how, you know, it brings up passing, yeah, your properties. I've got another agent, High Street agent as well, who's contacted me about another property that they've got because he was so impressed of what I've done with the first one that I've done with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they do.
How much do you make then on average for your on your properties that you rent out?
I'm a rent-to-rent business.
What are they doing on each property on average?
Yeah, so on turnover collectively, it's about 9K. Yeah. But then profit is about 3.5K.
Sure, so you're making just over £1,000 per, yeah, month per property.
Yeah.
Got,
yeah,
a few properties, fourth one on the way, but that's kind of growing.
Yeah.
Then you're also selling deals as, yeah, well. Are you selling all different types of deals? Are you doing bespoke sourcing?
Yeah, so the deal sourcing has been really, well, very much an eye-opener for me. So it is mainly selling rent to SA deals because that's what I know, mm-hmm, especially in the market in Manchester. I just know it. So, yeah, that's what I've been comfortably selling.
Wow. And you're selling how many deals a month on average?
So I am selling between one and two deals a month, which, you know, is... I'm very proud at, you know, yeah, I mean, it's especially since the ACPP, I'm very happy with that because that takes my profits collectively over the businesses.
Yeah.
You know, I've been consistently making 6.5K.
Yeah.
But then, you know, sometimes my good months like, it's 10K, yeah, you know, when I'm selling two deals. So it's, you know, it's been really, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the deal selling is definitely something that I'm going to be kicking on with more now.
It makes sense because people might not necessarily have the time, no, the energy, or the inclination. They might even have a few properties already, and then they're looking to add some to their portfolio. But, yeah, if you're out there working with the agents, so with deal selling, what's the hardest bit about deal selling, and how are you finding your investors?
So to be honest, the hardest bit is kind of probably juggling everything as such, you know, especially if you're new to it, like, because there's a lot of moving parts, you know, you've got to keep control of the agent or the landlord and making sure that, you know, they're kept in the loop with you selling it to an investor, because obviously there's a time scale on it.
Yeah.
You know, if you've gone to do a viewing, they bought into the idea and you'd be like, right, okay, then I need to get the time to sell it to the investor. So it is, you know, it's a lot of moving parts as such.
Yeah.
But how I'm finding my investors are great, man. I get on with them personally. You know, the great people. You know, I'll speak to them beforehand. I'll vet them. I'll make sure that, you know, they're serious. And I'll also tell them off as well. So, you know, if they've got a property that's live and, you know, they've not got any bookings this month or whatever, I'll say, well, what are you doing about it? You know what I mean? Why have you not done this? Why have you not done that? These are the basics. Do you know what I mean? So I will keep them in line as such. So
yeah.
It also helps me as well. Do you know what I mean? So they're just not like, you know, saying, well, what? It's not taking jabs at me as such. You know what I mean? But, you know, being quite demanding, because I know from speaking to other people, investors can be like that. It's just people.
I think particularly with people buying rent-to-rents, I don't think it's so much the case when they're buying BRRs,
yeah.
HMOs.
Oh, yeah, that's...
When they're investing, but when they're investing in a rent-to-rent.
Yeah.
Because effectively, a rent-to-rent, if someone buys a deal from a deal source, they're buying a rent-to-rent, that rent-to-rent, effectively, they're buying a business opportunity, aren't they? They're buying a packaged, presented opportunity where they can come and take over the running of this property. Of course, you can systemize it and you can get management in place and things like that. But if someone says, oh, I'll pay you $3,000 and then I'll just make $1,000 a month and do nothing, it's like, no. If it sounds too good to be true, that they say it usually is, and some people use that, and anything that good comes along, they'll say, oh, it's too good to be true, and they'll have a rubbish life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you can't just pay $3,000 and make $1,000 a month passive, that's not the real world.
You've got to get
involved. It's a business.
Yeah.
You've got to get your hands dirty, roll your sleeves up. How would you say you've grown as a person then? Because you talked about you had depression, you talked about how, you know, living with your nan, took you 8 months to get a deal.
Yeah.
Now you're killing it. Now you're making between $6,000 and $10,000 profit a month, plus your salary. So how have you grown as a person, and how's that happened?
I'm really glad you mentioned that as well, because I do this thing called checks and balances. Now, everyone that I've told this to is like really likes the idea and have actually tried to implement it themselves. And essentially, it's a measurement of 5 things in my life that's ongoing. So to give you an example, so important to me is health, business, social life, relationship, family. So basically what I do is I take an inventory on where I'm at with each of those 5 things. And, you know, I'll do a measurement. And what that allows me to do is to stop crashing out, stop burning, stop trying to juggle everything at the same time.
Mm.
And like I say, I'll do a measurement of where I'm at. So say, for example, my social life's in high gears, like I'm doing really well, I'm going out and seeing people, but I've not spent a lot of time with my family recently. So that allows me to reshift my focus and be like, okay, well, social life can just, you know, can rest for a little bit and we can focus on the family.
Right.
And it works on the other side as well. So if like right now, for example, business is going really well, but, you know, maybe my health could do with some attention, you know, healthy eating, start getting back in the gym, boxing, football, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So it allows me to not burn out.
Yeah.
So that's worked really well for me.
And good for your mental health, keeps you happy.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it allows me to call myself out as well. So like I say, if I'm slacking on something, you know, because I'm taking inventory on myself, I'm like, you know what, yeah, you know, your health is taking a bit of a decline at the moment. You're not eating the right foods.
Mm.
So it does allow me to do that.
What's your strongest reason why?
Why?
Why are you doing all this? Why you got into property? Why you set up a business?
To be honest, like I say, I was in a very dark place a couple of years ago. You know, I wasn't enjoying where I was going in life. I just didn't. I knew I was going to do something, but where I was going, it was kind of like a bit of a dead end. Really, I was seeing the same people. You know, I probably didn't have the best influences around me. You know, I always wanted to run a business. I always wanted to make money. I always liked the high roller life as such. You know what I mean? And I loved that image, but I wasn't going to get it, you know, being on the council estates, you know what I mean? And, you know, going to the same pubs and just like I said it before, living for the weekend, like it's not a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So
has your social life changed and your surroundings?
Yeah, very much so. Like everyone on my phone's a winner now. Like, I'm just going to lead on to this, like other influencers like Sam and Harrison, you know, the Jersey Boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's only fair because they give me a shout out on their Winners on a Wednesday.
Oh, there we go.
From Manchester. So,
what we don't realise is everybody on Winners on a Wednesday, they're all like friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? So you see, because they're all from the same place. They've all been to the crash course. They've all met.
Mate, I don't.
You must have been to so many crash courses now, bro. You must have been to about 20.
The crewing I do as well. Yeah, I've literally travelled the entire country with you. I've been doing Manchester, Leeds, Bradford, Birmingham, London.
Just to stay in the environment.
Mate, I love it though. You know, like I didn't go on holiday for a full year because I just used all my annual leave at work just so I could crew. Yeah. You know, it was insane. Just you know,
why do you do that? Because you obviously, you know, you don't get paid. Yeah. You come down and you help out, volunteer. You're not on any commission. Yeah. You don't get paid.
No, I just.
But why do you do it?
So I love meeting new people. I'm very good at networking. You know, I like to see people of where they've come from, start from nothing, and you know, go to the crash courses, then see them at the 4-day events, see how they're getting on, to then ultimately being on Winners on a Wednesday, and then becoming friends. Do you know what I mean? And just seeing like all these people from different walks of life, whether they got money, time, knowledge, kids, no kids. You know what I mean? Doesn't really matter. And seeing them succeed, I really love that. And I love helping out as well. So even before the success, like I've still got experience, you know, even like people have talked to me when I was crewing, I was like, oh, I've got an issue with my HMO. All right, well, I've got a background in antisocial behavior. This is what you should do. Do you know what I mean? Try this. So, you know, I always try to help out where I possibly could, but now it makes it even better when I do crew. And I am at the events because people ask me specific questions and I know it. Like, whereas in the past, I'm like, oh, I actually don't know.
It's a nice feeling of helping others. And I think if you become financially free and like, you know, right now you're working in your job fine, but sometimes if you quit your job, you've got a business, you're making money, you're moving into a nicer neighborhood. If you're doing it on your own, it's boring. Yeah. You kind of want other people.
Yeah.
Sometimes people even ask me, they're like, why do you even run these crash courses and what's the purpose? And yeah, sure, I run a training business. It needs to be sustainable. But I genuinely love doing it.
Mate, it's brilliant.
And I think just seeing people come in, like even people like yourself, you know, you're in a bit of a bad place and then within a year or two, now you're then helping others. It's like a rippling effect. I think it's a great thing.
I am living in a city centre apartment now, by the way.
Okay, so not living with your nan anymore. Yeah,
with my little sausage dog, Ralph.
That's nice.
It's
what was your experience like? How did you even find me?
So funnily enough, when I'd you know moved out of the area and stuff, I was like, right, okay, because I've reset, refocused, took myself out of that you know environment. I'm now focusing on myself. I actually set up a business doing inventory reports for letting agents and private landlords. And I was just, you know, getting into training of that. And man, it was boring. It was so boring. Do you know what I mean? I was looking at it. I never actually took it further because one of the courses that I went on, sorry, one of the events that I went on was yours. I come across your videos and I thought, oh, there's got to be some landlords that go to this Samuel Leeds thing here. Like he's talking about investing and all that. There's got to be someone there. So I went on a crash course, turned up, and I was about 20 minutes in. I was just like, do you know what? Maybe I need to rethink my whole plan here. Do you know what I mean? Like, what this guy's talking about sounds right up my street. I can either go and do an inventory report, make 100 quid, or I can go and, you know, make thousands selling deals and doing rent to rents and lease options, like land opportunities. I was thinking, you know, plan's gone right out the window here.
So you went along to network.
Yeah.
And then you ended up thinking, damn, I need to get in on this.
Mate, it was...
Well, how was the crash course? Like, what was the day like for you?
As you can see, because I come back to him so often, like, it's great because it gives you your first taste of property. Like, for someone like me, I've been in housing. Just because I'm in housing, I don't have a clue how property works. You know what I mean? Like, I just, like everyone else, just thought you just buy a property and rent it out.
Mm.
I didn't really know about serviced accommodation and... you know, lease option agreements, you know what I mean? Like, I just thought, oh, this was insane. And people don't believe you. Like, I'll go home and I'll tell my family and be like, what, you can buy a property for £1? It's like, yeah, no, you can't. You can't do that. Absolutely not. And just, you know, it's just insane about how much you learn there just from, you know, £1.
Yeah.
Everybody
should be forced to do it. The government should say, mandatory, go to the crash course because it will ruin you. Because you can't go back to work right. after that.
So when I first did, I actually, you know, did some advanced training. I sold my car to get on the advanced training.
Respect,
as well.
Bro.
Yeah, so
respect,
I did
bro.
That. I did that. So I went some did some advanced training. And then, yeah, we when I was there, we'd finished it. It was like, mind was blown. Like, absolutely blown about, like, all the information that we got. And I got home, and then I had to go to work the next day, and I was so depressed. I was like, how, like, what? I've just been in a room, people making money, do you know what I mean? Like, selling deals and all that on stage, like, tens of thousands of pounds being, I was thinking, how can I just go and, you know, deal with antisocial behavior now tomorrow? Do you know
what
I mean?
I was thinking, oh. Yeah. But what about now? Is it different? Like, going to work, do you think there's a difference between going to work from a position of choice?
Yeah, I don't. And yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because there's almost like not that pressure now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I need the job as such.
Mm.
So it is a position of choice now at this stage. So
now when you go to work, you're thinking, I'm choosing to be here.
Yeah.
Whereas when you have to go, it can feel quite almost claustrophobic, feel a bit trapped.
Yeah.
If something happened and you thought, oh, I want to go away for a month to Australia, you could.
That's it.
Wouldn't have to ask somebody and get permission. You could say, you know what?
No.
I'm a man. I'm financially independent. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite empowering having that choice. But
mad
respect, bro. And it's been great hearing your story. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no,
look forward to seeing what's next.
Yeah, appreciate it.